Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is Radio Boston. When you listen to us, you hear about the reality of life in Boston. But watch a lot of TV recently, and you see something else.
We're Southie born, Southie raised, Southie forever.
That's from the opening credits of A&E's Southie Rules, just one of the new crop of Boston-based reality TV shows.
There's also Boston's Finest, the police reality show, which premiered last night.
I turned to my partner and I looked and I said, hey, listen, just remember this guy's supposed to have a knife. And with that, the guy came through the window and stabbed me in the chest with a knife. I'd say that was probably the craziest call.
And of course, there's Wicked Single, the new VH1 series that starts March 17th. Here's the promo for that.
Boston's a city of champions. When you're from here, you know where you're from and you have pride.
Work hard, but party harder.
Can't wait for 4:59 on the dot to hit so I can run out the door, punch out, and go and have a good time.
When our group gets together, it's just total chaos.
I don't give a how old I am. Life is short.
Yeah, keeping it classy, VH1. From the ridiculous to the sublime to the more ridiculous. The reality TV landscape is vast, and the big focus at the moment is Boston. Question is why, and just whose reality is this? So joining me now to talk more about it is Bill Baker. He's a feature writer for the Boston Globe and a South Boston native who's done a lot of thinking about what reality shows say about his neighborhood. Bill Baker, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us from Brown University in Providence, Hunter Hargraves. He's a graduate student in the Department of Modern Culture and Media, where he teaches a class on reality television. Hunter Hargraves, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me as well.
So, listeners, have you seen any of the new Boston-based reality TV series? Did you watch Southie Rules? Did you watch Boston's Finest? What did you make of it? And why do you think Boston is now the new focus for reality TV producers? Is this a good thing or not for our city? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Bill Baker and Hunter Hargraves, I'm going to want to briefly go through the list. Southie Rules, Boston's Finest, Flipping Boston, which is about flipping houses, I guess.
Right.
Wicked Tuna, based in Gloucester Fishermen there. And coming up, premiering on St. Patrick's Day of all things, Wicked Singles. So, I mean, Bill, what's your first line take on why all the focus?
I mean, you heard the accents in every one of those promos. It feels a bit like shooting fish in a barrel. Cultural reality shows have become a thing in recent years. They're set in specific places, and there are a few sort of more fascinating places than the specific ethnic Boston, the ethnic white Boston, we might call it, in a way. And even hearing those accents in the promos, they all sound fake or turned up to 11. I think these people are playing caricatures of themselves that those caricatures themselves have been developed by Hollywood in its fascination with this city in the last decade or so.
Well, tell me a little bit more about what you, as a South Boston native, made of Southie Rules, for example.
It was weird. That show was billed as being a serious look at a family battling gentrification in the neighborhood. And then the first episode premiered, and it was something else entirely. It was a sitcom. It was a likable family, but nothing particularly Southie about them. And they just sort of put them in outlandish scenarios they perform, but it was certainly far from a hard look at the neighborhood, and also it felt a bit like it could be anywhere. That was just a funny family.
Right, so let's listen to a clip from Southie Rules. Again, it aired on A&E, and this is one of the characters, Matt, and he has to sell his mother's meatballs, and he winds up doing that and gets a lot of grief from other cast members for doing so. So let's listen.
Hello, Mr. Strabanowski. Do you run the Polish Club? Great.
Dude, Matt, it would be easier for me to sell sex toys to a nun than it would be for you to sell anything, period.
My mother, she makes the best meatballs in town, and I was going around town selling them. A fundraiser. We can make as many meatballs as you can eat.
Luck.
Hungry Polishman.
Sherlock.
That's the answer to every question. I'll bring 4 or 5 trays at a time. How about that? Great, thank you. I'll see you in about a few hours.
Ha ha. Hunter Hargraves, I mean, is this exploitative, silly, or fair game since these people wanted to be on the show?
Well, this is a debate that, believe it or not, scholars who work on reality television have been sort of talking about for a while. And you can kind of even think about shows like The Real World that premiered, you know, in the early 90s as really these sort of documentary soap opera stories. Let's get a bunch of people and just sort of show what scenarios sort of unfold behind the camera. And there's always going to be some sort of level of exploitation involved. But on the other hand, you know, we live in a media landscape that sort of rewards celebrity in a very particular focused way. And
but can I ask you something, though? I mean, just Bill Baker just said that it doesn't reflect reality of South Boston at all. I mean, I take your point about The Real World. When it first came out, it felt fresh, new, and different because we'd never seen people of different walks of life, you know, forced to live together in that way. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just being ignorant in saying this, but we didn't feel a heavy hand of the producers. Whereas now, you absolutely feel the guidance of the production company, like crafting a narrative that may not even exist in the real lives of the people who want to be on the program.
Well, I would just say you have to think about what the programs are trying to achieve, right? So a program like The Real World, you can say, all right, well, by taking youth from different areas of the country, from different racial backgrounds, from different religious backgrounds, and so on and so forth, it was really sort of instructing youth on how to sort of manage diversity as they were growing up, which was reflective of a sort of, you know, multicultural 90s sort of age. And now we might want to say, all right, well, what are these shows trying to teach us, right? So with these cultural reality shows that are really sort of playing off of stereotypes and playing off of caricatures, as Bill said, you know, we might want to think about, like, to what extent do these shows teach us about how different regions are struggling to both sort of market the stereotype when it comes to tourism and attracting business and so on and so forth, while at the same time distancing themselves from it as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I wanted to get Bill Baker to chime in on that. I mean, do you think that this might actually end up being something positive for Boston if it's, you know, any kind of attention coming back to the city?
I mean, there's a potential for that, sure. I think the initial concern was that they were going to delve right into cliche land. You know, everyone was going to be an Irish criminal. And this show, at least Southie Rules anyway, didn't touch sort of any of the easy cliches other than Irish music for every montage, which they also use in Donnie Wahlberg's show.
Hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about Donnie Wahlberg's show, which is called Boston's Finest, I should say. It premiered last night on TNT, and it's the one of the recent crop of reality TV shows which actually it's received some pretty good critical reviews. They follow a number of units in the Boston Police Department, tell the story of the lives of individual officers. And so we've got a clip here. It's executive producer Danny Wahlberg talking to a Boston Police Department. He's actually in a BPD recruiting video made with the cast of Boston's Finest. So let's listen.
These are neighborhood people who are protecting the very streets they grew up on.
The best part of my job is actually the worst part of my job also. I get to deal with everybody that's doing good, but I also got to deal with everybody that's doing bad.
Now, Hunter Hargraves, in Boston's Finest, there are a couple unique things about it, given the current reality TV landscape. One is that each episode is an hour long. And two, from what I've seen, there's a lot of, accolades being thrown at the show because they don't try to really tell stories that aren't actually happening. I mean, we really get to know the lives of, you know, individual police officers. For example, one of them, she has a sister who is struggling with addiction, and that's really a part of her life. So, I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think what's interesting about Boston's Finest, and you also saw this a little bit in Southie Rules, too, is the way in which both programs sort of play off of this idea as Boston is the Boston native, right? So in Boston's Finest, from the opening tagline, it's the streets they were born to protect. And in I think Southie Rules, it was, you know, Southie born, Southie raised, Southie forever, right? And so there's this way in which you're getting this idea of Boston as this, you know, you're born there, you're raised there, this is where you're from, you're a Boston native, and that sort of lends the program a little more authenticity, right?
Mm. And Bill Baker, do you feel that authenticity? When you watch it?
They're very different shows. I'd say the Donnie Wahlberg show feels like an authentic documentary about police life that just happens to be set in the city of Boston. It's not, as was mentioned, not an attempt to sort of define the city. It's more to follow the lives of these characters who do a very compelling job. In any sort of television show, you need the characters and you need an action. And so the police come with a built-in action. Excuse me. Every day they've got something they need to be out doing. It's dangerous. It's compelling. When you set something in a family world, I mean, my own family, and it seems like this family on television, day to day, they're not doing too many interesting things. So you have the heavy hand of a producer who intervenes and tries to create these scenarios. I think that's going to be another thing that's going to appear in this this dating show, or however it's being billed, Wicked Single, where this is more down the Jersey Shore vein of reality television. And this was a big concern when the reality producers were initially scouting the neighborhood of South Boston. One of them was 495 Productions, which made the Jersey Shore. From what I understand, they've since dropped out of making a show. But that set off all the alarms for people in the neighborhood. And since that point, I think everything's been judged against that fear of that type of show.
Interesting. Listeners, we're talking about the new crop, the new wave of Boston-based reality television. Have you seen Southie Rules or Boston's Finest or maybe even Wicked Tuna, which comes out of Gloucester following the lives of Gloucester fishermen up there? And what do you make about it? Do you like the fact that so much attention is being paid to the region? Or maybe would you rather have the TV cameras go elsewhere? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a quick call from Cora, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Cora.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your thought today?
I'm sorry, I can't quite hear you. I'm on a cell phone driving.
Okay, well, first of all, don't get in an accident. Second of all, what's your thought? What would you like to share?
I just wanted to talk about Boston's Finest in particular. I do have this problem where I can't quite tear myself away from things that I don't want to be watching necessarily when it comes to reality television. But I'm a former public defender in Roxbury and Dorchester. I've worked with Boston police from all parts of Boston. And I think it's a problem with Boston's Finest to me is that it glorifies things that shouldn't be glorified. And maybe it doesn't do it intentionally, but I think as you have sort of been hitting on editing, producers, et cetera, it kind of ends up looking like something that's being glorified. And I have had numerous instances where there is some, you know, semi-dirty police work going on that we've known about that we haven't followed through with. Sometimes we have, but a lot of times things get reported and people, you know, nothing happens. So then there's no consequences. And so it scares me a little bit to have this, you know, show
right.
where it's definitely not the whole picture.
Well, let me get our guest to respond to that, Cora. Thank you so much for your call. Hunter Hargraves, you heard Cora just say, you know, by definition, there's no television show based in reality that can capture the whole picture, and that leaves her cause for concern. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, but that's also, I think, what makes reality TV precisely so interesting, right, is how it's going to tackle some of the issues that sometimes are talked about and sometimes aren't talked about. So when I first read the a news report about Boston's Finest premiering about a month ago, my first thought was, all right, well, how is race going to play out on the program, right? How are we going to get this sort of treatment by which, you know, the police are very much the heroes of the program while also showing some of the things that maybe we don't like to talk about, corruption, the dirty work, or, you know, potentially violent scenarios. So I think these are actually, instead of thinking of reality television as just plain trash television and a cause for concern, we want to think about these as these sort of incubators for which we can start to have these conversations as a community about, well, what kind of representation do we want? How do we want people across the nation or across the world to think about our community?
Well, Bill Baker, I mean, let me turn that question to you. You're from South Boston. How do you think the people who really do live there 24/7, whether there are cameras or not, want to be seen by the rest of the country?
It's tricky. The people of Southie have sort of long ago given up their image to a strange sort of national fascination that began with Good Will Hunting in the late 90s and has continued on through several Boston movies. So And during that time, the neighborhood, of course, has gone through this massive gentrification where I think most people think the majority now are newcomers. It's not this sort of old neighborhood that the mythology would say that it is your job to protect as a native of this neighborhood. So I think that when these reality shows descended and there was talk about gentrification being the issue, there was concern that it was going to perhaps make it out to be something it was not. To ramp it up in a way where, you know, it's certainly a low background hum in the neighborhood. But, you know, I heard a state representative tell me that he didn't want it to make it okay for local kids that think it's okay to harass, you know, the yuppies, like it's us against them. Southie's been famous for having these big public wars against things like busing, most famously. But there's no street corner you can go stand on and protest a reality show like they could with busing. There's no street corner you can go stand on and protest gentrification. So by sort of magnifying both of these, there was concern it was going to create problems that it was pretending to be documenting.
Hunter Hargreaves, I'm going to play one more clip from another show, and then I have a quick question for you about just the nature of what is being documented and how. And so this clip is from Flipping Boston. It's a show about a pair of guys who flip houses around the greater Boston area, which apparently is still being done. So, and here's a scene where a team of contractors realize that a bathroom renovation project that they've started is going to get very, very complicated.
This is not good. The second floor is just a mess. The homeowner before was a handyman, obviously. He redid his bathroom. In doing so, he took all the structural integrity out of it.
What a mess, huh?
I'm not even worried about Dave and Peter's job. I'm worried about my guys getting hurt.
Hey, come on, brother. Why is everyone standing around? Let's go.
It's a mess in there. We're at a standstill. The whole bathroom, it's not structurally sound.
Oh, dude, you're killing me. You're killing me, Todd.
So that's from Flipping Boston. I mean, Hunter Hargreaves, that seemed like a relatively tame scene. But I'm wondering, a couple days ago, I saw this tweet from someone who had watched The Daily Show, and a Daily Show personality had said, when a camera enters the room, people just naturally get a lobotomy and that they turn stupid. And so, I mean, my question is a serious one. The mere act of observation, let alone the production values that get put in later, the mere act of observation, you know, alters the reality that we're supposed to be observing. And so in that sense, I mean, you kept talking about the educational value of these shows. Doesn't that, by definition, limit the educational value of reality TV set anywhere?
Well, I would just say we want to think about what reality television is. It's entertainment, first and foremost. It's a lot of it is spectacle. It's incredibly cheap to produce compared to narrative, sort of primetime drama or comedy. So, you know, you enter into it with, you know, this sort of preconception that you can't get anything out of it just because it's already scripted or heavily edited or heavily produced. And that might shut some doors in terms of what good the programs can offer. That was more my point earlier. I would just say, you know, we want to think about how reality television allows us to sort of move forward a dialogue about what we want out of our communities, especially when it comes to, as Bill was saying, these sorts of cultural reality shows that sort of play off of this idea of an ethnic white Boston.
Well, I'm going to actually turn the last thought to Bill Baker on that point. Would you rather see the cameras leave?
I'd like to see the cameras do something good. There's a journalism potential in reality television if you tilt it towards the documentary angle. This is an interesting city with interesting people, and you know, there are stories to be told. But there's a concern that they won't be telling those stories. They don't make, you know, entertainment.
Well, let's hope that people would want to watch those kind of stories
well.
Bill Baker is a feature writer for the Boston Globe and a South Boston native. Thanks so much for coming in today, Bill.
Thank you so much.
And Hunter Hargreaves, a graduate student in the Department of Modern Culture and Media at Brown University, where he teaches a class on reality TV. Hunter, thank you so much as well.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And by the way, this thought from Chuck Siampa, who wrote on our Facebook page, I'd rather see reality shows about community activists, not this stuff. So producers out there, there's an idea. There's a pitch for you. Community activist reality TV. Stick with us because coming up, a rap and grass project that intoxicates the ears. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.